page Tzadi Gimel, Simon Ayin Tes, Halacha Dalid. I believe Rav Talacha Dalid, some Halacha, Asa Ladabe B'Shosh, the Maftir Korea Haftarah. It is forbidden to speak at the time when the Maftir reads the Haftarah. So the Kitta does not discuss a Kiddush club. So I don't. I guess it goes without saying that it's a very controversial. If you go to a Kiddush club, what is better, to sit in shul when they're learning the Haftarah and talk, or to go to a Kiddush club and not disturb the davening? I think you could make a powerful argument that it's better to go to the Kiddush club, right, and make Kiddush and eat, as long as you don't disturb the davening. That could be a... Okay. Also, ledaber b'shosh shemafti kori es haftar. Okay, halacha, hey, ikar hadin shezesh ol lemaftu hu bilvad yaber haftar. Ikar hadin, the one that gets the maftu, there halacha says, this is what we mentioned this last week, that for some reason it's become a trend in some of the new shuls, especially the younger shul, the people, the younger generation, where they designate one person to always read the haftarah, the Baal Kore, the Baal Kriya, the one that reads the Torah. He also is miyuchad, designated to read the haftarah, even if they're reading the haftarah from a chumash. The Ber Halacha says that's not correct. Ber Halacha says that if they're reading the haftarah from a chumash, the one that should read the haftarah is the one that gets the aliyah. It's only bidyevet. If he's not able to read the haftarah well, then he can make a shliach. The Baal Kriya can be his shliach. But if he can do it on his own, he should. Again, today it became, I can tell you many last time, years ago, this was unheard of. If you could not read the haftarah on your own, you would not be given the maftir. It was self-understood. You would be given warning way in advance. Today, for whatever reason, it's not like that. Today, they give the haftarah to anyone they want. And in some places, they don't even allow you to read the haftarah from the chumash. They only want the Baal Kri. Over here, also? They only allow the Baal Kri, the Baal Kri? Okay, so this is something relatively new. Probably Rabbi Greenberg. I can't imagine Rabbi Greenberg.
Greenberg didn't do it. Rabbi Shulman.
Rabbi Shulman. And it's a new generation. Rabbi Greenberg, for sure, he let.
And there was a reason.
Over this, really?
Right.
Wow. Okay, so this is a new trend. But the Ber Halacha, says it really should go. If you're not reading from Klaf, it really should go. The one that has real first choice, first licks, is the one that gets the Aliyah. Okay, that's what it says. Some shuls that where I daven on Shabbos, they usually ask the one who gets the Aliyah. It's your choice. If you want, go right ahead. No one's going to stop you. And no one's going to even correct him. That's the custom. When it comes to laning, they'll correct. The Haftarah, they go very easy on the Haftarah. And if he doesn't want, then the Baal Kriya is expected to read the Haftarah. But they do give the person first choice.
Be a busha for someone who is asked, he said, no.
It depends. It turns out that I would say 80%, 85% of the time the Baal Kriya reads. It got to the point where chashuv people that are very capable, very capable. They decide, you know, let the Baal Kriya. It's certain, you know, just you're doing good. Keep on going. Okay, you're right. It's when you lay from a cloth, it's different. When you lay from a cloth, it's different. Okay, let's see what it's over here. Now, the point the Kitzur is making is not the point of who reads it. The point is that no one else in the audience should read along. Not like what's done among the Nusach Svart. In many, many shuls in the Nusach Svart, the custom is everyone reads along.
And there are,
so that's the point. The question is, what is the person doing it? So there are different customs. In some shuls, I remember I grew up, when I was many years ago, I would go visit my grandfather, Olav HaShalom, and he davened in a Hasidic shtibel, and I never saw, it was the first time I ever saw such thing, because I was grew up in a young Israel, where the one that got the maftir, he made the brachas, and then he went into mute. Mute mode, completely silent, and everyone was just mumbling along. It was just rumbling. It was rumbling for about 5 minutes, maybe less, and then he said the brachas, and this was a shock to me. Then I went right. That that's what they do. So this. Oh, really? Right, right.
They also say to take a
exactly.
You have the jewels out the smoke.
And some people, yes, that's right.
So
this was. And then I went, after that time, I went to other shuls and I saw different customs. And some shuls in the more professional, I should say, but it's other shuls, the one that gets the maftir does. Is told as is instructed to read it out loud, but the people in the audience also read along with him. But there's an expectation that the one that is getting the haftarah should read aloud. That's really what he says over here. He really prefers that the people in the audience should not; they should be completely silent. But at least it would be better. It's clear from his words that it would be better the one that gets the haftarah should read it loud, and those who want to say it by themselves, let them say it by themselves. But at least, now he even goes so far to say that at least there should be 10 people surrounding the one that is saying the haftarah, that will hear the haftarah read from, will listen to the baal kriya, so the brachos will be chalf on the kriya that's being done for a minyan, at least around the baal kriya. Okay, you mentioned before, and you mentioned this about shiashim and the chamesh megillos. I once Davin and the young Yisrael, and we once had a Hasidic fellow who came in. This Hasidic fellow must have been in his 60s, at least his mid 60s, and we laid Shir Hashirim, and the audience, the tzibur was silent. He couldn't repeat. It was very well disciplined, the tzibur, and the baal kriya. He laid Shir Hashirim very well, melodious, you know, with a. And this Hasidic fellow turns to me and he says, "You know, my whole life, I never saw this. I've davened in a lot of places, but I guess he davened in all these Hasidic shtiblach. He never, his whole life, saw a shul where the baal kriya reads the chumash megillos out loud, and everyone is silent and listens to the lading." So it just goes to show there are so many different customs you can't generalize. But here the kids are very strong. His opinion is very strong. That's not what many Hasidic shtiblach do. But he says here, "Ikra din shezeh sholu lamaftir hu bilvad yomer haftorah ve'atzibu yomer acharecha belachash." The tzibah shall say it quietly. Quietly, but the one that gets the aliyah, the one that's reading, shall read it loud. Umashin ohagu, this that has become the custom. Shat tzibah oimim b'kol rum. In Hamaftir, Ein Zerak Machmas Chisoni Yidir. This is due to ignorance. The tzibur reads it loud. They don't listen at all. They don't give it a chance to the baal kriya to raise his voice. That's ignorance. V'nochon levatel haminuk. We should levatel haminuk. V'gam yesh oisim shayos b'mirus haftarah. There are those also, and because of this, he says that when the haftar is being read, sha'af achash esim hamafter haftar v'isklab rochos, being that people are reading along and not everyone can keep up with the speed of the baal kriya, when the baal kriya concludes, they don't answer amen to his brachos because the people in the tzibur are still reading the haftar at their own pace. And then when the brachos are being made, you don't have a minion of people answering the brachos. The brachos were established to be read in the presence of a minion. If you don't have a minion, it's a bracha levatala. It's a chazar sashatz. So that's what happens when this technique is followed, where the tzibur, the shliach tzibur, is reading it, and everyone in the tzibur is reading it at their own pace. They're not listening. They finish afterwards, so they're not going to answer amen. And the ain writes them lahafsig. They don't want to be mafsig. Me'amira saftara v'lo yofe heim oisim she'im oimim b'kol ram. If they're going to read the haftarah on their own, b'kol ram einam shemim kol devarim haschalas bracha samafter. They're not going to hear the brachos. Ulepamim gormim shagam acharecha hasmuchim they disturb the people who are sitting next to them, who do want to listen to the baal kriya. They're disturbed. They're not able to hear because of the conflict, because of the competition between the baal kriya and the person next to you. Even if they're going to be quiet in the beginning of the brachos, they're going to lower their voice. Even if they're going to be quiet and let the other people answer, I mean, they themselves who are saying at their own pace, they're not listening. L'chein, therefore, it's not a good idea. The best thing is yesh linoig ki miyad sheyishma shehamaftir sim haftara. The best thing is, even though according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch he allows people in the tzibur to read it quietly, but the moment you hear the baal kriya finish the haftara, you should stop. You have to stop wherever you're up to. Siv haftar u'maskel habrochos afal pishuhu adayim lo siv. You should have to stop right away. Yeh mosun b'shtiko. You should be patient in silence. Ad sheyisayim hamafter habrochos. The achar kach, and after all of the four following brachos, the four brachos that are made when you finish haftar are recited, then the tzibur, those people who have not yet finished, can finish off the haftarah. The achar kein yisayim hu hamiras haftarah. The gamamavder yezar, the person that's reading haftarah should participate. He should be, should pay attention to this situation, and that people should hear what he's reading. He should wait. If he's not going to be, he should wait to say the brachas until he hears that the tzibur has silenced, has calmed down, and they're going to listen to his brachas. Then the Mishnah Berurah doesn't hold from this at all. He holds the best thing is the people in the tzibur should not recite the haftarah at all. Nusuch ashk minuk ashkim has nothing at all. Just let the person who reads haftarah read it, and a lot of people will be yoytze with shaynea ke'oine. There's a machlekes apayiskim if it's preferred to use a tanach. Really, there are three things. There's a regular chumash, and the back of the chumash you have the haftarah printed, and then you have a full tanach, and then you have what's called sifra de aftarta. You have a book that only has the haftarahs, just the book of the haftarahs. So each one has a mila. Of course, the best thing would be is to have klaf. When you have klaf, by the way, you have klaf, there's no such thing as having a tanach of klaf. Klaf is just, each navi is separate. Each navi, of course, is separate. It's interesting though, they do combine, Yeshua Shaif, what did I see them combine? That's Pasha. Shmuel Av Shmuel Bey is only a printer's app. But I think also Yeshua Shoiftim, they combine.
I think so.
That's a very big chiddush, because they're really, as far as the Chavtal, the Tzifrei Tanakh, they're considered. What? Only three times? But still, it's a separate Navi, so you'd expect they should have a separate Sefer, but I don't know the reason. Because they're Chavtal, the Tzifrei Tanakh, so you'd expect that each Navi would deserve its own Sefer. That's why Treyasar, they're all grouped together in one book, because Chazal make a point, because each one would be separate, then they would get lost, so they would merge together. That would indicate that only where Chazal sanctioned the merging of Nevi'im together, you can do something. But to have Yeshua Shoiftim as two separate, as put in one, I don't know, but it seems the way it's done, it's put together in one Sefer. Okay, but that is for Yeshua Shoiftim, but that's on the klaf. That Mishnah Berurah says is ideal. That is what should be done. And that way you enhance the degree, the level of Shaymea Ko'ina. When you're reading it from a real Sefer, al Klaf and Diyoy, you upgrade the Chashivus, the Koyach of the Shaymea Ko'ina to a higher level. If you can't do that, so then you're reading it from a Chumash. So how can you upgrade the source, the Sefer, in order to that it should be Shaymea Ko'ina? So it's Machlokes HaPaiskim. If I'm not mistaken, the Chazon Ish holds there's no Maila using the Tanakh. That's the thing that Chazon Ish is famous for saying this. There's no ma'ala, you can use a chumash. It's no big deal, just use a regular chumash. You're not gaining anything from learning from chamish or chumash, from Tanakh, if it's not written on parchment with diyoy. However, other poskim disagree, and there is something to this. You see this very often, that many shuls are makbid to learn from a Tanakh. Some have the Korain Tanakh. Now they have a new beautiful edition where it's a whole Tanakh, but when it comes to the Haftarah, they make it in big letters, and there's a very nice index in the front of the Sefer, so you can quickly find what you need. They produce a very nice Sefer. And then there's something else called, they don't see it so much anymore, the Haftarah book. Right? The Haftarah book, where they have underneath the Bima, not just the Haftarahs. So some say that's somewhere in between. It's not to be taken lightly. There's a Gemara, in fact, the Gemara talks about Sifra De'agat. Well, the Gemara talks about this thing called Sifra De'agatata. It is written on Diyoy, on Klaf, and ink. So not everyone can have a diyoy with klaf and diyoy, so they just have a special book of haftarahs, which is somewhere in between having just a chumash and having a complete tanach. Now the big question, some I know my brother where he lives in Lakewood, he wanted to do this because they don't have they want to have a klaf. They want to, you know, it's nice, the Bnei Torah there, they want to have klaf. But to buy a set of klaf cost, I think, double a Sefer Torah. Because there are 400 columns. In the Sefer Torah, there are about 250 columns for a Sefer Torah. 200?
Figure on the average, 5 amudim per seder, roughly. That's the average.
So 250 columns.
Right.
That columns, you know, the columns. A Tanakh, a whole set of Tanakh, from Yeshua all the way to the end of Treyasar, in the end of Treyasar, or the Nevim Achreinim, is approximately 500 columns. So the price, now the price is almost double. So you're dealing with, not going to be actually double, but it's going to be somewhere in the realm of $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 to buy a whole set of. So many shuls, they buy it piece by piece. Well, first buy a Yeshaya, because Yeshaya is the most popular. Shuvah Nechemta, and you have other Haftaras. Then we'll buy a Yirmiyah and Yecheskel. There's a whole list of statistics. What? Yoshua is the last, because Yeshua you only lay in 3 times a year. Simchas Torah, Parsha Shlach, and what's the third time I remember? The 3 times a year you lay in Yoshua. Okay, so So then here is an option. This is the first day of Pesach, Kriyas HaYarden. First day of Pesach, Kriyas HaYarden. So then the big issue, this is something which used to be done, and they actually have, you can get old ones, is where someone wrote a safe road on parchment.
Right.
A all of the Haftorahs. Just like you have, you have in your shul.
We didn't know we had it about 5 years ago. We found it.
Someone told me that in Chaim Blin they cleaned out. They have a lot of old stuff. They cleaned out and they found it. They found it and they have their cloth. They collected money. They bought a beautiful new set of Nevi'im, and when they bought the new set of Nevi'im, they went through all of their they cleaned out a lot of things there, and they found this thing they had in their possession, probably who knows how long ago, very old Sifra de Agadita. On parchment with all of the haftaras, and they brought it to an expert, a Judaic expert, and it was worth a lot of money. It was very, very valuable because they were able to date it when it was written, where it was written. There was some simonim, and these things are available in none of the old shuls. So my brother told me they were very seriously considering commissioning a sefer to write a sifra de Agadita. It was going to be about, I think, less than $10,000. Okay, $10,000 to have a Sifra de Agadita is a lot cheaper than writing a whole Tanakh. $80,000. They don't have that kind of money. $80,000. So they did a lot of research. It's very interesting. He told me they did a lot of research into this. What is the halachic status? So the bottom line is, it is. There's definitely something to it. It's brought down in the Gemara. There's definitely something to it. But for whatever reason, it's just not done today. No one is doing it today. He told me that embroiderers, they lane. I don't know. He told me they lane on Shabbos from a Tanakh. A Sifra de Agadita on Dioy. With cloth. Sifra de Agadita.
Tisha
B'Av, interesting.
Mincha is the last
Sifra de Agadita. So this is something which is in the middle. It's in the middle. It sounds like a great idea. He was very in favor. My brother was very in favor of doing this, and at the end was they didn't do it because the person who was going to give the money. No, everything all depends on money. It all comes down to money controls. And the person who was going to give the money, he said he would prefer that the money go to buy one complete sefer than to buy the Sifra de Agadita. He wasn't so hot about this idea. So they ended up buying, I don't know what they bought. They bought whatever it was. They had a Yeshaya, they bought a Yecheskel, Yirmi, whatever. They bought one particular sefer. But it's definitely something that is very interesting. All the various madregos in what you can use to be Mekayim the Haftarah. You can start off with a Chumash, which is fine. You can go to the next best thing, having a Chumash printed on paper which you can buy in any good Judaica store, a Sifra de Agadita, or a Sifra de Aftarta on paper, printed. Then you go to the next level of a Tanakh, the Tanakh, a full Tanakh, a full complete Tanakh, which today is very readily, very popular. Every shul kamat has the beautiful printed Tanakh with the special, you know, the orange one, the new one. And then you can go to the Klaf Sifra de Agadita, the Aftarta, and then the next jump up is the real thing, to have a real Navi with Dioy. And
not for commercial purposes, but when we were in Venice, there was an artwork store.
Yeah.
A guy, this was his idea, and he said he was selling a lot of it. let's say you have a son or you want a parsha. Just, I mean, it's not nothing that you could lay the shul with, but if you want the Torah or something, it would be different. He did with artwork. He would do. He wasn't a cipher per se, but he could write ciphers, and he would write out a parsha or a haftarah with pictures surrounding it, pictures that were in the
text itself, right?
So that you got a flavor of the parsha with the pictures surrounding it, and each parsha would cost you a few $1,000s.
Wow.
To, in other words, anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 a parsha or a haftarah with all the artwork around. They were beautiful, and I was thinking in terms of doing it. He showed us a list of all the shuls that were buying the entire, how much money they were spending.
You know,
these conservatory places that would hang it on the wall or put it in. The artwork was sensational.
You did the same thing,
you know, especially in Shemos when you have a Kriyas Yamsuf and all that. So you'd have the Shira surrounded by all the pictures that went along with it. Beautiful.
So that's a very big question. You're a cipher. You're a service. So this is a very big question. Are you allowed in the Megillah says that they have the crowns on the Hamelech and artwork, color artwork on the sides?
I have it.
There are different. If you were to do this in the Sefer Torah, HaKol Moedim it's possible. If you have a Sefer Torah and you put in a Sefer Torah, oh, I want to put a Keser on one of the words. Or I want HaKol Moedim, the Sefer Torah is possible. In the Megillah, Zemachleikis HaPoiskim, some say from the Chavivas HaMegillah were very, very lenient, and you can have colored artwork on the margins, the side, and the back. So this is an issue.
The Megillah's Moshe was saying you had the in the Yom Kippur that he had a shirah.
He had the yeah, right. It was artwork. Yeah, very expensive. Yeah. So this is. So this is the minig. The minig oil and the Chassidim, especially among the Chassidim, they're very into this. But if you go to the real. You know, the real heavy duty litvaks, they don't go for this. They will order a Megillah and they will be very makbid, no additions, no crowns, no artwork. And so some hold that the only hider is what the Chazal told you to do. There's no record in Chazal telling you to make crowns and artwork in the margins, above, below. So it depends, okay, it depends. Mishum Chavivas, when it comes to the Chavivas of the Megillah, there are a lot of exceptions to the rule. It's only a Megillah. It's not a Sefer. There's a Sefer Nevi'im, and Megillah is on the lowest level. It's a Megillah. Megillah is
they have pictures for every album.
Right. So different customs. Okay. So let's go. So this is.
In the olden days, when bar mitzvah boys used to get umbrellas as matalas.
Yeah.
It's called Kitav Publishing.
Yeah.
A little
push button.
Kitav. That way they would open something, remember I say.
Kitav.
Very cute.
They used to have little half-color books.
Yeah.
Different color, different set.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes, it had.
They had the
brachas for the Torah.
They used that.
Mm-hmm. Had the brachas for the Torah.
Had the master. And the
half-color.
Oh, the little
and
books.
And the half-color.
Remember that?
Yeah. And a picture on how to put on tefillin. Mm. And pictures.
Okay, bar mitzvah set. Okay, let's last part. Gam hamafdi yes zayish lo lahaskaya.
The custom for the Baal Haftarah to stand sideways when he reads.
Because you don't want to put your back to the Sefer Torah. If you do Hagbah and the person sitting, the person that does Galila holding the Torah is right behind the bima, it's not a requirement. It's a custom. Some shuls do it different. It's a cover. You don't stand with your back to the Sefer Torah, so you stand on the side. If some hold, it would be preferred that the person that's holding the Sefer Torah should not sit there. He should sit on the side, and the person reading should read in the center of the bima. It depends. There are different customs. Some hold it's not an issue. Everyone knows that you're not trying to disgrace the Torah when you put your back to the Sefer Torah because you're reading from the Haftarah for the honor of the Tzibur. It's just like when the rabbi gives a drasha, his back is towards the Aron Kodesh. How is the rabbi allowed to put his back to the Aron Kodesh? Off to the side, so on an angle. So there's a custom, right? There's so that's one of the reasons why when the rabbi comes up to the Aron, he kisses the parochas. You ever see that?
Yeah, sure.
You kiss the parochas. Why? To show when I'm going to turn my back to the Aron, I don't mean in any way to disgrace the Aron. I'm giving cover to the Tzibur. So you first apologize by kissing the Parochet. So I remember Rav Pam Zichron Livracha used to come up. He used to make an issue. He would kiss the parochas, and then he turns around, and they turn around. So that's right. So there are different customs about that. It's a very good point of where exactly should you stand with your back towards the one that gets doing galila. Okay, the last two lines of the halacha: Gam hamafdi yegzosh lo lahasil amir sabrochos ad sheyavsi kol hamon harav legamri. So we said before that the mafdi should not begin the brachos until the tzibur is quiet. Okay, halacha. Okay, this goes to this when the Shabbos, you went to Parashios, Achnim, Oskadeshim, Matas Masei. This year we did not have any of them yet, right? This year was
only one.
But it's possible even to have that. Is it possible to have that separated? Every single one.
Tough.
I think there's another
40 Parashios.
Next time
is tough
year.
Wow.
Every single parsha, a whole year, the longest year. 54 parshios. Because why? Because of the stake of the Yom, on the Yom Tov. So in that year, did it happen Eretz Yisrael also? That year? There are 54 parshios. Very important number. Every Orthodox Jew should know. There are 54 parshios in the Torah. There's a famous Zohar that says Gzuntai, that says there are Gan parshios. There are 53 parshios. So everyone is struggling how to reconcile how do we reconcile 54 or 53. So the popular answer given is that Zayis HaBracha does not count because we don't lay it on Shabbos. Zayis HaBracha is not Simchas, which is not necessarily Shabbos. Some say in Simayelech. Some say, the biggest chiddush I heard, this is a very big chiddush, is that the truth is Truma Tetzaveh is really one parsha.
Right.
It's really one parsha, and we just like we combine parsha, we break up. We break up just like you have a Yaakov Akuda, you bring them together, but we truly want. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Mocheini no mitzifrecha asher kosofta." If we would read Truma Tetzav as one parsha, then Moshe's name appears in Truma. So the way to fulfill Mocheini no is to break up Truma, and it's a very big chiddush to say such a thing. But this is there are a lot of different answers. But okay, let's go. The Shabbos Shtei Parshas Mechuboras Maftin Behaf Torah Shel Parsha Shenia. The rule of thumb is you lay in the second Haftarah. Today Baruch Hashem you have the Ezra Luach, and whatever it says in the Ezra Tuach Luach is Kodesh Kodashim until they make a mistake. They once made a very big mistake a couple of years ago on Shabbos Chanukah. It was unbelievable. Shabbos Chanukah it said there to lay in the wrong Haftarah. Yeah. The wrong Maftir.
3 years ago, because it was only Hanukkah came out that only Shabbos Vayesh.
The wrong day, yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
It's FDJ.
Yeah, that
was the wrong day. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's the worst.
Sounds like my thoughts go left out of Yalavayoran.
The Shabbos Hashtay Parashiyos. The Shabbos Hashtay Mechubos Maftir Baftar Yuvim Maftar Shel Parashah Shania. You lay in the second parsha. Levad me'achrei kedoshim k'shei mechubaros she'oz maftirim haloi kivnei chushiyim. You lay in the haftarah of achrei mos, not the haftarah from kedoshim. Period. Now, by the way, in that haftarah, it's very rare. When the two, this is their chagav. Okay, I didn't prepare all the details for this, but this year we laid Achrimos Kedoshim separate. Yeah. Extremely rare.
Shabbos Agudel, so you didn't lay it then. That's why.
This year?
Yeah, Achrimos was.
No.
Shabbos Agudel. You laid the over.
So then there was another one?
So you didn't lay it until after Pesach, that's
right. But then you lay. But you did lay. It's very rare. You did lay in the haftarah for Parshas Kedoshim. Kedoshim had its own haftarah this year, and that haftarah it ends. It's a very big question where it ends. Rav Moshe. Everyone was. You're not allowed to be misaim with a davar ra. So there was much debate exactly where the haftarah should end.
That's mishpatim.
No, not mishpatim.
You go backwards.
I don't know details. So this past year we had it, and everyone was Rav Moshe said you should not follow what it says in the Chumashim, and some people got very confused, and they had it in the newspapers what Rav Moshe says and the different various customs, but all the different things were not what was printed in the standard Chumashim. Alright, whenever you have two parashios together it gets confusing. B'shas Chumashim he writes B'shas Chumashim Nirsham L'parashas Vayishach is the wrong after Haftaras Vayivach Yaakov Utos. So this is not a problem for us. It's correct by us. The Haftarah of Vayishlach is the entire Sefer Ovadia. The whole Sefer Ovadia is just, what is it, one parak? The whole one parak? You learn the entire Sefer Ovadia of Parashat Vayishlach. Okay, Rosh Chodesh Chal Yisrael Shabbos Maftim Hashemayim Kisi. We all know that. You learn Hashemayim Kisi. V'yeh Matav V'kor Haftarah V'shal Parashat. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake. So this can happen. This does happen every so often where they learn the wrong Haftarah. People are not paying attention. So what do you do? So here the rule of thumb is as follows. If someone catches a mistake before they conclude the last brachas, then stop where you are and you should immediately read the correct haftarah. And you make the bracha achrayna. Let's say you realize your mistake after you already finished the brachas of the haftarah. It's too little, too late. Then what you should do is you should read the correct haftarah without a bracha. It's okay. The ikar takana is to read. It's a navi. It does not have to necessarily be from Rosh Chodesh. If it happens to Rosh Chodesh, that's l'chatchila b'diyeva. If you read the haftarah for the parasha shavua, that's also okay b'diyeva. But being that it is Rosh Chodesh, you should still now read the haftarah for Rosh Chodesh without a bracha. Yoimar hashman ki sibulay bracha. Svim chal Rosh Chodesh b'echon b'shabbos. Let's say Rosh Chodesh on Sunday. If you make a mistake with doing after sending if you correct the mistake before the end of the brachas, then read it right away the correct after. If you don't correct your mistake until it's too late, then you should read it at that point in time before, without the bracha. Chal Rosh Chodesh B'Shabbos of Yom Rishon Maftin Hashem Kisi. If you have a conflict, you have Moch Chodesh, and you have, it's also Rosh Chodesh. So the truth is, what you can argue, when is the real Rosh Chodesh? The real Rosh Chodesh is the second day. The first day of Rosh Chodesh is the 30th day of the previous month. So one can argue that you should really lane Moch Chodesh. But that's not true, because since we do commemorate this, the first day as Rosh Chodesh with Halel, and with all the laws of Rosh Chodesh, so the correct thing is to read Hashemayim Kisi. Now, the very big issue, Art School came along. Until Art School Chumash, no one ever did this. Our Art School revolutionized, created a lot of confusion. I don't want to say, don't tell Rav Meir. Don't tell. He's our direct link. It used to be, let's say it's exactly this case. Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos and Sunday. So in the art school it says after you lay in Hashemayim Kisei, you should lay in two psukim. Vayomer Shol Yoinasan Mocha Chodesh. Just read two psukim. So how? That's how you should. So the question: how are you allowed to do that? We have a Hatzafer Shulgim that you're not allowed to skip in Medalgin. You're not allowed to be Medalgin. You're not allowed to skip from place to place. They have other examples: Shabbos Chodesh, Parashas Chodesh. So this is the after Parashas Chodesh. And then when you read Tupsukim Hashemayim Kisi, this is the primary Haftarah, and then you'll read one Pasuk from the secondary Haftarah, Shabbos Chanukah. You're going to read the Haftarah for Shabbos Chanukah from Zechariah, and then you read one Pasuk from Yeshaya Hashemayim Kisi, you read one Pasuk.
Read the other one too.
Whatever the case is. So how are you allowed to do that when it says Beferish in the Gemara that when you read from a Navi, you're not allowed to be Medaleg, you're not allowed to skip from one Navi to another Navi? So the answer is, what I've seen written up in the Sefer Kriyas HaTorah Kilchos, is this hakpada of not going in Medalik from one Navi to another Navi is only when you're reading from a real Sefer, real Sefer Nevi'im. But when you're reading from a Chumash, there is no hakpada. There's no hakpada. So basically, the bottom line is, if the Haftarah is being read from a Chumash, from a printed Chumash, then you can be extremely lenient, and some hold you should, art school advise that you should, some congregations, after you read the primary Haftarah, you can right away read two psukim from a different Haftarah, Mochar Chodesh, or Hashemayim Kisi, or whatever you need to accomplish. But if you're laning from a Navi, a real Navi, printed on Klafud Yoy, then you have to be makbid not to go, then you don't finish the Navi, you don't finish, chumash, and then take out a chumash and read those subsum. So that is the difference in that custom. Yeah, but many people don't hold of this. They hold it even. I've seen rabbanim that very makbar on this. Even if you're reading from a chumash, they preserve the ikar hadin in the Gemara that you're not medaleg mi navi lenavi, and you only lane the haftarah. For that you're supposed to lay, and you don't read two or three psukim for Malchus Chodesh or whatever the story is. You just read what you were supposed to read if you would have had a klaf. Okay, let's do one Shema. Yeah.
Not that I'm a member of the Art Scroll Defense Team.
Yeah.
I know that Mayor Zlatowicz is very, very close to the government.
Yes, whatever he says, yeah.
And I would imagine, I could check it out, I won't mention my name, and I would guess nothing goes into that without...
It says there's some congregations.
Some
congregations. In the old Chumashim, there was no such thing as some congregations. Take out any old Chumash, they have the Haftarah.
60%.
Okay, let's just do the bottom one, Halacha, and I'll tell you a word on the Haftarah, and we'll go do something for Tishra, but this is on the bottom, Halacha Alf on the bottom. The Nachon, on the page Sadi Gim, on the bottom, Shrim, so Halacha, the Nachon, the Batal Minik, the Ayin Shut, Chasam Sefer, the Ma, Shandragu Ha'am, Shoimim, the Haftarah, in Balham after Yesh, Lehaniach Min Hagam. So the Chasam Sefer says, let them do this. Why? So he says he's really giving the story because it used to be they would give the Haftarah to people that did not know how to read. Yeah. And you're not going to be Yotzer Shomea Ko'ene. That's how this minog evolved. You can give the Haftarah to anyone who wants, because anyone we're not going to be Yotzer with his reading because we're going to say to ourselves, Alkein Mutav Sheyu Shoygim. Therefore, he says, it's not so bad. Leave it like this and let them continue what they're doing. Ayin Sham, the Ayin Meshud Yochin Boyash, Shakasav Yechon Lahakol Likrois Imbal Hamaftir. Ayin Sham, Aval Kavanasa Sham, the Yikro Imo Balachash. Everyone agrees that the primary voice should be the Baal Kriya, should be the one that gets the Maftir, and everyone else should read quietly, and it's okay, and they can read quietly. The mile of reading quietly is that you're going to be Yotze with your own reading, and that way you're not going to be Mavayish the person who does not know how to read. You can give anyone you want the Maftir, but the brachos must...
Give it to him.
What?
They said you don't want to be Mavayish.
Yeah.
Because he can't reach him. Why give it to him?
Because he wants it.
He's making a big donation.
He wants it. We're not going to be Mavayish. We're not going to correct him. We will not correct him.
And you haven't got to pay for it.
Decide to come to your show.
We're not...
Pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to...
Okay. All right. Before we conclude this, I want to tell you one very, very important. Okay, one word about the Haftarah. A little bit applies to the Yom Yoma, to Tisha B'Av. We mentioned last week that there are a total of 7 brachos. One gets when he gets Maftir, the 2 of that Torah, and then there are 5 brachos recited for the Haftarah. 1 bracha before and 4 brachos after. Question is, why so many brachos? What's this all about? Why so many brachos? So Sybil, you'll say, because since we're giving the person, we're embarrassing him. You are not good enough to get one of the 7 aliyos. Right? Being called to the Torah for the 7 aliyos is something which is very important, very chashuv. You're not good enough for that. We're only going to give you 2nd licks. We're going to give you to read from the Navi. So to compensate for the bizoyin of not giving you an aliyah from the Torah, we're going to allow you to make multiple brachos. That's the simplest reason given. The second reason we mentioned last week is because there's 7 brachos in total, keneged, there's 7 aliyos. Since the Haftarah was established at the time of Shmad, at the time of the Chanukah miracle, the time of Shmad that led into the mythical miracle of Chanukah, they were not allowed to read from the Torah. Instead, they read 7 aliyos from the Nevi'im, and each aliyah was at least 3 psukim for a total of 21 psukim. So to preserve the remembrance of the time of Shmad, they read 7 aliyahs from the Navi. There are 7 brachos. Number 7 is critical. 2 for the Maftir, the aliyah of the Torah, and then 5 for the Haftarah. I once came across another very interesting idea of why we have 5 brachos after we read the Haftarah. There are 5 different types of Haftarahs. The first and simplest most type of Haftarah is the Parashas HaShavua. You lay in the parsha, and nothing is happening in the world, right? It's not during the 9 days. It's not this, not the Shiva the Nechemta. It's not the Dal Parshios. It's not Rosh Chodesh. It's just the regular week. It's Parshas Vayishlach. It's Parshas Vayishlach. We want to preserve the cosmos, so we search in Tanakh to find the topic that relates to Parshas Vayishlach. We found something of Avadia. There's something very similar about Yaakov running away from Esav. Similar idea of Golus Edoim. Okay, it's perfect. It's connected to Parsha. The second reason why we lay in the Haftarah is Gimel de Paranusa. The 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av, the Haftarah has nothing to do with the Parsha. It has to do with the Nevi'im Yirmiyah and Yeshaya warning Klal Yisrael, if you don't shape up, you're in a lot of trouble. You're going to be in a lot of trouble. It's three Haftarahs of rebuke, of Musar, of warning Klal Yisrael. Period. The third type of Haftarah, nothing to do with the parasha, has to do with Shiva Dinechemta. After the Chor Meis HaMidosh, we need comfort, 7 weeks of comfort until Rosh Hashanah. The fourth time we read is we read four parashios of Geula. Parashas Zohar, Parashas Shkolim, Parashas Zohar, Parashas HaChodesh, and Shabbos HaGadol. These, what? Parashas Parah. So parashas, those are five, then, right? HaGadol is not. It doesn't count. But it's also right. HaGadol is going fine. Let's put in that category five. They are the Dalit, we'll call Dalit Parashios slash five. Those four parashios which deal with leading up to Pesach, everything is a preparation for Pesach. Shkolim, Zohar, Gula, Misamech, Gula, Gula, all a lot of different reasons, they all go together. Parashas Chodesh and Parashas Para before that. Zohar, what did I say? Zohar, Para, Chodesh, and Shkolim. There's a set of leading to Gula. And then there's a category that's called Me'ein HaMe'oira. Me'ein HaMe'oira means related to the theme of the day. If it's Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh. If it's Pesach, Pesach. If it's Sukkot, Sukkot. You take a haftarah from the Navi that relates to the theme of the day. This idea didn't go so far that it was the custom, and it's still the custom in certain communities, that when there's an Ofrof, the Shabbos, which they sing for the chassan in honor of his wedding, they lay in a special haftarah. They suspend every haftarah. If let's say it's the middle, it's Parash Vayishlach, and there is a chassan, and there's an Ofrof, you don't lay in from Avadia. You lay in the haftarah that we lay in Tzavim. Sois osis, because it says there, he's chassan al-kala, the expression of chassan al-kala, it compares, that's me'ein. Look what's happening. We have someone in the community that's getting married. We're going to read a special haftarah in the honor of this person called me'ein hamar. Now it's, what? No, we don't do this anymore. Some congregations, could be even, it says this in the article, some congregations, they do is on a week when there's an ofrof, they first read the regular haftarah, and then they conclude with the first few psukim from Parashas Tetzaveh. You don't see that too often, but that some do that. They have a middle ground minute. Instead of completely ignoring the Haftarah, they'll read the regular Torah and then two or three psukim which mention Chassan Kal. I never seen that, but it seems you read from the Sram and Haftarah, this was fairly common. This was done not that long ago. Are you sure? Balakriya, yeah. It says that. That was very common. And it could be there are other things. It could be that there was an Ovel, there are other things also, other different types. It could be it was a Bar Mitzvah. There's a Bar Mitzvah. There could be there was a special type of Bar Mitzvah. There was a... if there was an Ovel in Shul, there are different Haftaras which are read on different occasions, which superseded, which pushed off the Haftarah that was read for the week. Now, it's very interesting, as you look at the brachas, there are five brachas, and I just mentioned there are five different reasons why you lay in the Haftarah. These five reasons you see fit exactly into the nusach of the five brachas. What's the first bracha you make? Baruch Atah Hashem, before you lay in the Haftarah, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hinnimuchel Masher, Bochar, בנביאים טובים, ורצו ודיברים הנביאים, מרס ברוך את השם, הבוכר בעתרו, ומוישה עבדוי. The Nevi'im, the prophets, and Moshe. Moshe is Chamisha Chumshe Torah. And Moshe was the Av HaNevi'im. Moshe was the father of all prophets. Uvi Yisrael Mo'uvi Nevi'i HaMesfot Tzedek. The first bracha corresponds to the simplest reason for reading the Haftarah. Parshas HaShavua. Parshas, most of the time, nothing is going on. Simple Shabbos. It's not summertime. It's not Yom Tov. It's not Dal Parshas. You read off Torah that relates. That is the first bracha. Moshe, Torah's Moshe, Chamishei Chumshei Torah. extend, Moshe was the Av HaNevi'im, take something from the other Nevi'im to complement the Chumash. Now, the next bracha, you finished this. Now this, now we're holding now before Tisha B'Av. The last 3 weeks we've been learning from Gimel de Paronusa, three haftaros that relate to harshness, punishment. That's the next bracha. The next bracha is every single Shabbos of the year you're reminded. You know what? There's something called the Bein HaMitzarim. What's the bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Kedem L'Cholam Tzur Kol Ho'ilamim Tzadik B'Chol Hadoros. You're basically saying it's Tzidik Hadin. Tzur Hashem is the Tzur, is the Tzadik Hakel HaNemon Emuna. What is this? Tisha B'Av. That's right. Because there are 3 weeks in the year you lay in a special Haftarah. Hakel HaNemon Ha'imeh Ha'isa Hamadam Mekayim Shekol Durem Esot Tzedek Nemon Atu Hashem Ha'kei V'Nemon V'Recha B'Chol V'Avrecha B'Nerecha Ha'chol Lo Yeshu Reikam Kiyom Melech Nemon V'Recha Monoto. Whatever you say is going to happen. It doesn't say good. It says bad. Whatever you say, you tell us you're going to punish us for not listening to your mitzvos, you're going to punish us. You read the bracha very carefully. This is a very scary bracha. This bracha is telling us, shape up. If you don't shape up, you know there's a taichacha. There's a taichacha in Kisavo and in Bichu Kosai. Whatever Hashem says is not going to go backwards. It's going to happen. You better shape up. Okay, Gimel de Pranusa. Next bracha. The next bracha is Rachem Hashem Elokeinu. Rachem, what is that? That is Nechama, Shiva de Nechem. In fact, our Giris is Nachem. But that's not the only Giris. There are many who have the Giris of Rachem. Instead of saying Nachem, you say Rachem. You speak about this? There's the other Giris that say Rachem. This bracha, the next, Rachem, have compassion, al Tzion, kihi veis chayenu. V'laluvas nevesh shem hevrenu. This is a bracha, misamech Tzion givonecha. This is a bracha of Shiva de Nechemta. That's the third bracha.
Even the things that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, when you get to Sukkot of the Choma, you can't learn
it. You have to stop it.
So you wouldn't say Nachem.
Nachem, say Rachem. Okay, very interesting. Okay, next. Samcheinu, the next one is Bil Yohanavi Avdecha, Gu'ula. This corresponds to the Dalit Parashios. Because the Dalit Parashios of Shkolim and Zohar, Chodesh, Para are all Parashios leading up to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hachona for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Geula! That's the fourth bracha. Samcheinu Hashem Elokeinu b'Elyon Ovi Avdech Malchus B'Tav Mashiachecha B'mheira Yavo V'chulu V'chulu. And the last bracha is Me'ein HaMa'oira. If today is Shabbos, okay, but let's say it's Rosh Chodesh, or let's say it's Pesach, or it's Sukkot, or it's Chanukah, or it's what else do we have? Shabbos Shuva, those type of parashios. Me'ein HaMe'ora, that is Al HaTorah, V'al HaAvodah, V'al Adim, V'al Yom HaShabbos HaZeh, or Al Yom HaGamatz HaZeh, whatever the case is, this whole thing, Al HaKol, Hashem Elokei Anachnu, we thank you for everything, all the various situations. So it's a very powerful insight. There are five brachos that are said when we read the Haftarah. These five brachos correspond to the five different types of Haftaros that we come in contact with throughout the year. There is the Parashas HaShavua, the first. There is Gimel de Paranusa. There is Zayin de Nechemta. The Dalit Parashos, which have the theme of Geula. And then there is Me'ein HaMe'ora. Okay, a very big aside for the... And that's, again, in addition to the other reasons. The main reason is seven. This, with the two brachos you make for the letting of the Torah, is a total of seven, connected to the seven brachos. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll take a little break, and then we'll talk about in Yom Tisha B'Av.